Good morning, church. This morning's Bible reading is from Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and then went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he sent to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is the word of God.
Grab your Bible and open it up for you, so you can follow along as we look at this parable today, as we get back into, or as we continue on in our series in the book of Matthew. I think today's parable is quite a relevant parable for anyone who's been invited to Hannah and Jake's wedding, which is happening in about 3 weeks' time. First, it's a good warning to make sure you turn up, and secondly, it's a good warning to make sure you wear the right clothes. Otherwise, Jake will get some of his army colleagues to pay you a visit. But seriously, today's parable, it is a warning parable, isn't it? It's just like the parables we looked at last week. But it's a bit more than just a warning. And so today I want to draw out three main points that I believe the parable is making. Let's pray before we get into it. Father God, as we look at your word today, we do ask that you help us to understand it. Lord, help us to receive it. Lord God, we pray you speak to us through it, and that you transform us as we listen to it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first point today from this parable is that the invitation Jesus offers to us, it's a good one. Throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus is inviting people to enter into the kingdom of God. And in this parable, he compares the kingdom of God to a wedding banquet. I love being invited to weddings because I just love a good wedding. And I love a good banquet. I love a good feast. Weddings are typically, they're just wonderful occasions, aren't they? Seeing two people who love each other come together to make this lifetime marriage commitment is just wonderful. You can't help but smile when you see a good man and a good woman making their promises to one another. Everyone's smiling. It's such a special privilege to witness the beginning of a brand new family unit. I think that the greatest and the most profound commitment that we can make in this life is a commitment to trust in Jesus and to join his family. But perhaps the second most profound and wonderful decision someone can make is to commit to another person in marriage. This decision to offer all that we are to another person through thick and through thin, agreeing to put their interests above our own till death do we part, it is so good. And to celebrate such a profound moment, you know, at weddings there are often these funny speeches. There's the gathering of extended family, there is good conversation, and there's a lot of laughing. Sometimes, of course, there are train wrecks of speeches, but generally they're wonderful and uplifting. And so by comparing the kingdom of God to a wedding banquet, Jesus is telling us that when he's inviting us into his kingdom, he's inviting us into something that is truly wonderful and joyful. He's not comparing the kingdom of heaven to boot camp or to university or to a holiday in Bali. He's comparing it to the wedding of a king's son. Can you imagine what the wedding of a crown prince would be like? It would be the most lavish of weddings. It would have the best music, the best food, the best drinks, the best decorations. It would have the best entertainment money could buy. You'd be drinking from golden cups and goblets. It would just be epic. And so today, please make no mistake. When Jesus calls you to follow him, he is calling you into something incredible. The kingdom of God in the age to come will be like this celebration of joy with all of your family and your best friends and God himself, a celebration that never ends, in where every day is richer and more joyful than the one before, forever and ever and ever. That is the first point today, that Jesus' invitation to each of us is a really good invitation. The second point today is that we should accept the invitation. Did you notice that the first group invited to the wedding refused to come? Why wouldn't they want to go? So in verse 4, we read the king sent messengers to them again. And notice he persevered with them. He gave them another chance, maybe many chances. We read that he even tried to persuade them. He said to his servants, tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. He's almost pleading with them, isn't he? He really wants them to share in his joy. He really wants them to enjoy the occasion, to be blessed, to be delighted in all that he's prepared. There's no hidden motive. There's no cost to the guests. No one has to bring a present to get in. Yet still the invited guests refuse to go to the wedding. Why would they refuse such a wonderful event? Why would they say no? Verse 5 says, but they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. They went off to do their daily business. There was nothing pressing. There was no broken leg. There was no alternative engagements. The humdrum business of life was more important to them than going to the king's son's wedding. In Luke 14, we hear the parable told again by Jesus, but there's a few more details that Luke adds in, including what the invited guests said. We read in Luke 14, 18 that the first invited guest said, I've just brought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. And still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Wait, I must go to see the field I bought? It's not like that field's going anywhere. You can see that anytime, can't you? The same with the oxen. You can try them out whenever you want. But what about the excuse, I just got married? How in the world does having recently got married stop you from going to another wedding? They are lame excuses. They're pathetic excuses. And surely if someone's just got married, they would understand even more how important it is to turn up when you're invited to a wedding. Just imagine if a friend of mine was getting married and I received the invitation and I said, sorry, I can't actually make it. I bought a new pair of shoes and I've got to try them out. Or, sorry, I can't come. That's the day I normally do my grocery shopping. It would be a way of saying to them, you just don't mean anything to me. Or, I don't respect you. I don't care about you. I'm not interested in any kind of relationship with you at all. The invited guests had become so selfish and so self-absorbed in life that the only thing that mattered to them was themselves. And that is the world's message to us. The one we hear over and over, look after number one, you matter, you're worth it, be all you can be, live your best life now, be the best version of yourself. That is the message the world keeps selling us. It sells selfishness as true life. But such a way of living makes life smaller and smaller and smaller, not bigger. Because our tiny and mundane things in life become more and more important to us, more important than the other people's big things. Do you ever find yourself getting upset when small things don't go your way? Or when your daily plans are interrupted? That comes from selfishness. And it is a tragic, it's an empty way of living as seen in this parable. As listeners of this parable, we can look from the outside in, can't we? We can step on the outside and we can look at these invited guests and we think, oh, that was very selfish. It was also short-sighted. We can think, oh, that was foolish. That was the king's invite. Can you see that? We can see that in their selfishness, they'd lost sight of the big picture of life. They'd lost sight of the fact that they only actually had the oxen and the fields and safety and law and order because of the king's governance and provision, right? It's the king who protects the land from enemies. It's the king who maintains law and order on the inside of the land. It's the king who enables them to have a life in the first place, to have a field that won't be taken away by someone else. The king gave them that peace and that prosperity. They lost sight of how celebrating the king's son would actually be actually really fun, really joyful, a beautiful experience to take part of. They'd lost perspective of what true life was, and they'd become fools. I think that's a risk we can all face, isn't it? That we become so selfishly busy with work and career and leisure and fitness and whatever else that we forget God and kind of just push him and his invitation to the side. That we can disrespect him and forget that everything we have, all of the mundane things of life, were actually given to us by him who created them. We can also forget all that he's done for us through Jesus' death on a cross for our sins and how he's prepared for us this wonderful eternal feast and celebration to come for the eternal age. We can forget that in selfishness. And wouldn't it be terrible if we were like those foolish people who spurned the king's invitation? Wouldn't that be terrible? Whether we were the ones who violently rejected God's messengers, like the Pharisees did of Jesus' time, or whether we're just simply too selfish and distracted to even go and listen to Jesus and hear him. The consequence would be the same. If we reject God's good invitation, this parable tells us, he will reject us. And so that was my second point, that we really should accept this wonderful invitation of Jesus. Well, my third point today is that if we have decided to accept Jesus' invitation, we should really wear the right clothes to the wedding banquet. It's a strange twist in the story, isn't it? Someone has somehow gotten into the wedding banquet, they've responded to the invitation, they've turned up, but they're not wearing the right clothes. And as a result, the king said in verse 13, he said, tie him hand and foot. There we go. Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It seems like a pretty extreme response to wearing the wrong clothes, doesn't it? Do you ever get nervous about what you should wear to a wedding or funeral? Is it going to be a suit and tie event or something a bit more semi-formal? Sometimes I find myself overdressed at these things and sometimes underdressed. It's awkward. But wearing the wrong clothes doesn't normally result in me being tied up and bound and thrown out into the dark. I remember one time I was about 19. I'd moved out of home by that stage. And my parents, they called me up and they told me there was an international student who was attending St. Hilda's High School at their church. And her host family had asked my parents to ask me if I could be her partner at her school ball. I'd never met her. It wasn't often my parents asked me to do something for them, so I thought I can do them this favour. So I went out and I spent my last $100 to hire a black tuxedo and shoes. Took the train to my parents' house, I borrowed the car, I picked her up. She gave me a corsage that her host family had provided her with, which I dutifully pinned to my jacket. They used to do that in those days, corsages. We drove to the ball, and I was a bit surprised to see the ball was actually at her school. And I was even more surprised that when we arrived, all of the guys I could see were wearing just jeans and t-shirts and collared shirts. As we entered the building, we were welcomed by this long line of staff, including the deputy and the principal, and they all looked at me very strangely at my clothes as they shook my hand. I was desperate to find someone else who was dressed formally like me. And entering into the building, there was just no one. Just me in a tuxedo, a corsage pinned to my jacket, and a bunch of Year 11 students in jeans. After we sat around our dinner table with a group, I asked to see the invite, and it said, Year 11 dinner dance, dress semi-formal. Darn it. I was wearing the wrong clothes at the wrong event. It was a long and awkward evening for me, especially because either my date didn't speak much English as an international student, or she was just too embarrassed to talk to me. That may have been a funny story and a light-hearted story about clothes, but this parable, it's not so funny. I made an honest mistake, but this guy didn't. Why do you think he didn't put on suitable clothes for this wedding banquet? The parable doesn't explicitly tell us, but I think we can guess that he didn't put on wedding clothes because he was just there for the king's food and the king's entertainment. He wasn't there to respect and honour the king and his son, otherwise he would have dressed appropriately. His acceptance of the invitation wasn't sincere gratitude. He wanted the king's stuff, but not the king. He'd come to the banquet with the wrong kind of heart. Wouldn't it be terrible for one of us to turn up on the great and the last day of the resurrection and the judgment of all people and see the magnificent and eternal banquet that God has prepared for us laid out beautifully and then discover we can't participate in it? Could there be a worse feeling that a person could have in that moment? To be so close to paradise, to see and smell that food, and yet end up in darkness of weeping and gnashing of teeth and unable to enter, bound. How do we make sure we're not that person? Well, we need to respond to Jesus' invitation in the right way, in a fitting way. For the guest in that story, the right way to respond would have been to show the king and his son respect by the choice of their clothing. For us, the right way to respond to God's invitation to his kingdom is also to show God the respect and honour that he's due. What sort of responses and actions does that kind of heart produce? Well, the right response is to receive the invitation of entry into God's kingdom with joy and gladness and thanksgiving. For us, that means by faith. Now, deep in our hearts, to willingly accept Jesus as our King and our Saviour, and to choose to follow him with our whole lives. We choose to put Jesus first, high above all of the daily business of life. In Galatians 3:26, we read that when we approach God with this kind of faith, this faith of gratitude, he clothes us with Christ. We read, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." Notice it was the good and the bad who were at the wedding, but those who responded in faith put on the wedding clothes. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Our faith, our trusting in Jesus, in his death for our sins, is in a sense all of the acceptable clothing that God demands we wear. This ongoing response to God's grace and mercy then leads us to follow Jesus with our whole heart. People then who have accepted Christ, their Lord, by faith, will long to honour the clothing that we've been given. And so we'll also then fully embrace the teachings of Romans 13, which says, "The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. The person who has truly accepted Jesus' invitation to the kingdom of God, while clothed with Christ in faith, also has an ongoing job to do in actively putting off our old clothes of sin, of drunkenness, of greed, of envy and rivalry and all of these other things, of unforgiveness, and to clothe ourselves instead with the attitude of Christ, the humble attitude of Christ, of servant-heartedness, of the moral purity, and so on, in ever-increasing measure. That is the response of faith to the invitation. Earlier in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus warned us again. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Today I want to encourage you to take this parable to heart, to take Jesus' warning very seriously. If you haven't ever sincerely accepted the invitation God extended to you in Jesus, please do. And know that what this invitation means and receiving it means coming to God in full sincerity of heart. It means repenting of sin. It means asking forgiveness. And it means asking for strength to help put aside all of those things like envy and immorality and greed, so that we can instead put on the armor of light and live lives of kindness and service and compassion. Have you been challenged by today's parable? Would you like to make a commitment to receive the invitation Christ has forgiven for the first time? Would you like to make a recommitment if you feel like you've wandered and started to ignore your Lord? If so, can I encourage you to make this inner prayer to God of response in a moment's time? And if you do pray such a prayer with me, can I encourage you to tell me or tell someone afterwards to kind of confess what's happened, to kind of seal it and mark it as a real commitment of your heart so you know what's happened? Let's pray. Father God, Maker of the universe, Maker of me, thank you for your invitation to enter into your kingdom. Today I accept your invitation to the wedding banquet of Christ and your church. Today I accept your invitation to enter into your glorious kingdom forever and ever. Thank you that you've invited me. I accept the pure white wedding clothes that you prepared for me through Jesus' death on a cross. And I discard my sin and my shame. For those who want to make a recommitment to God, let's pray this. Father God, forgive me that I've wandered from your invitation, that I've not treated it with the honour it deserves. Father God, help me to get my heart right. Help me to live according to the clothes that you've given me, of righteousness that has been won for me. Help me to do that daily, to clothe myself with righteousness of Christ. Amen.